Father, in the name of Jesus, as always, I thank you because we know that your word brings light and understanding. That's what we need today. Give us understanding on this topic. You know, how to hear from you, how to know your voice, and how to understand it. Let that light shine in our hearts today. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, getting right to it. Today's topic is, of course, you know, to hear, to know, and to understand God's voice. I want to start by reading a text here in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14. This verse here in verses 10 and 11 tells us that there are many kinds of voices in the world, and not a single one of them is without signification or significance. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, then I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. So it's important for us to know the meaning of the voice. I mean, if you're trying to communicate with somebody, they are speaking to you a language that you don't understand. It's just what you're not going to know anything that they said. You know, so it's very important for us. Keep that in mind. Here are a few things that Jesus said about his sheep. John chapter 10, we start at verse 5. I mean, 4. He said, my sheep, you know, they hear my voice. They understand it. They follow me. They don't follow the voice of strangers and so on. So let's take a look at it. And we're going to take this thing gradually and just break it down. So Jesus said, you know, he's talking about a good shepherd. When he puts forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. All right, so we're going to be talking about knowing his voice. We're going to be talking about hearing. We're going to be talking about knowing. And we're also going to be talking about understanding his voice. And he said, a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I'm going to read one more verse here in a minute, and then I will talk about what hearing, knowing, and understanding his voice is all about. In the book of John chapter 8, Jesus talking to the Jews, he said a number of things to them that, look, the reason you guys, you don't understand you can't understand my speech, you don't know my words. He said in verse 42, he said, you know, verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? This is John 8:43. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. I mean, he's even talking about hearing it here. And why is it that they can't hear his word? Well, verse 47 says, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. So we see Jesus talking about hearing his voice. He's talking about knowing his voice. Well, let's talk about understanding. I'm just going to give you a few scriptures about that before we break it down. Understanding, we've seen where Jesus says, you know, the sheep know his voice. They follow him. We've seen that. He also says the same thing in verse 27. Let me go back and read that one of John chapter 10. Also, he says it in verse 27. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they, you know, I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Isn't that very reassuring? Well, you know, and it all leads off into hearing his voice. My sheep hear my voice. Hallelujah. And they shall never perish. You know, I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life. Wow. I mean, that right there alone ought to make your heart glad and shout for joy. He said, you will never perish. And I will give unto you eternal life. And no man can pluck them. Glory to God. Out of my hand, because my Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no one can pluck anything out of his hand. Woohoo! That alone right there makes me shout. I shout for joy. I thank you, Lord, for that declaration. So we're talking about hearing his voice, knowing his voice, and understanding it. Well, we've read some scriptures about hearing and knowing his voice. Let's read this one about understanding, you know, what the Lord is saying and why understanding is so key. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus was telling the people many parables, and he talked to the parable of the sower, which we know. And afterwards, the disciples came and asked him about the parable, why he spoke to them in parables. He explained why, and then he began to explain, you know, the parable of the sower. And here's what he said in verse 19 of Matthew 13. So important. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and you see the hearing there, and understandeth it not, so you see the understanding here, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. So even... even in the message of the gospel, you know, because they say the word of the kingdom, anytime we hear the word and we don't understand it, then there is a risk that the enemy is going to come and take that away from the heart. So understanding is what settles the word in the heart. So that's very key. So there are three things that we're going to talk about here today concerning God's voice. Hear his voice, to know the voice, and to understand it. Well, right away, let me tell you this. God's voice is in his word. Now, that's God's voice is in his word. We're going to go over that in a minute before we begin to go into the practical of hearing his voice, practical of knowing his voice, practical of understanding the voice. But God's voice is in his word. Psalm 103 verse 20, which I love this verse, and I do quote it from time to time. It says, you know, talking about praising the Lord, the angels that excel in strength and all of that. But here's exactly how he puts it. He said, you know, ye angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Hallelujah. So we see that there is a voice in his word. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. So we see that voice in his word. Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, when we covered that chapter, when we did the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, verse 4, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We understand that by faith. Well, if the worlds were framed by the word of God, and we know how God created the world in the book, an account of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, between chapters 1 and 2, we heard how God created the world. It was mostly, and God said. God would say something and call it forth into existence. And he would say something else, and called that other thing up into existence. And then he said, you know, Genesis 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Genesis 1, verse 9, and God said, Genesis 1, verse 6, and God said, you know, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and so forth. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters be this and that. And verse 11, and God said, let this and such be. And verse 14 and so on. And God said, and so on and so forth. And God said, and God said, and God said. But here in Hebrews, he says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. But it was his voice that called out those things, because it said, God said. So the argument there is that God's voice is in his word. Now let's talk about the practical aspect of God's voice being in his word. There is such a thing called a voice print. Voice print. In other words, if you play, a clip of an audio clip, you can digitally analyze the thing to get a voice print out of it. And a voice print is critically used in many cases to identify a voice. Even it's used in investigations for, different things that the law enforcement may be pursuing. In any case, a voice print is a way to uniquely identify a voice. And also, even in a natural world, without you even looking at the caller ID, if someone calls you that you know very well, you can tell by their voice before they even announce themselves that it is such and such. You can tell that they are the one speaking. I mean, you hang around people long enough, you can understand, you can discern and make out their voice even among other voices. A parent may have multiple children. One of them, they may not be in the same room. Parent may be over here, they are over on that, room in the other part of the house. One of them yells out something. You can tell which child it was because you know that. You can tell by their voice whose voice it was. I know that, for many years, I've been working from home. When I first started, working from home, I had to be on the conference call all day long. Meetings and things like that. And it wasn't necessarily video. Most of the time it was audio. And after a while, I began to recognize the voices of the people that were speaking, even if I wasn't looking at the screen. And, enough time passes when you hear people talk, you'll be able to recognize their voice, even if you're not looking in the direction of who's talking. I hope you're following me, even as you are in this room right now. If somebody was to say something outside of me speaking and you've been here for a while, even if you were not looking at the screen, you say, oh, yeah, that was such sister such and such and brother such and such that spoke. We get to the point where we recognize someone's voice. But there's a voice print to it. It sounds a certain way. Sometimes there are some people that sound alike or similar. But if you, close enough to them, you can probably tell it apart, tell the voices apart. So that's an important thing for us to recognize. Now, some people wonder whether God actually speaks. Since the Bible says that God is spirit, can a spirit speak? Since God is not flesh and blood, can he speak? Does he actually have a voice? Or is his voice only in his word? Well, let's analyze all of this. Number one, as it is written in the book of Psalm 94 and verse 9, I'm going to add my own little something to it. Psalm 94 verse 9 says that, the Lord himself, right, that formed the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? And I'm going to add this. He that formed the tongue, shall he not speak? You know, and so on and so forth. So, listen. The reason that we may not be hearing God's voice, it's not because God is not able to speak to us, but it could be because we are not able to hear his voice. And there are many reasons why not. We'll get into that in a minute. You know, there are many, even in sound, just talking about sound technology. In sound technologies, sounds operate in various frequencies. Various frequencies. There are some sounds that some creatures can hear that other creatures may not be able to hear. You know, for instance, we human beings, there are certain frequencies and, you know, that we can hear in the range of certain decibels that, you know, and that's about it. There are maybe some high pitch sounds that we may not be able to hear, but some other creatures may hear them. I mean, creatures that we are familiar with, let's not even talk about wild animals that we may not be familiar with, but creatures that we are familiar with, like domestic creatures, cats and dogs. Dogs especially, they've been known to hear things, you know, that human beings cannot hear. You know, high-pitched sounds, even birds and things like that. They can hear some high-pitched sounds that human beings cannot hear. People have even marketed devices to, you know, scare away some of these animals that can hear these high-pitched sounds. These devices will emit some very high-pitched sounds in a different frequency. It doesn't do any harm at all to the human ear because it's outside our hearing range. But yet the animal can hear it and it hurts that ear. So they run away or fly away, you know, and so on. You know, so, but yet the human being may not even be able to hear it. Well, same thing in the spirit realm. That was natural. But in the spirit realm, same thing. God operates, you know, I mean, voice, there are all kinds of voices in different frequencies. It's kind of like the radio. Remember the old radio we used to tune the radio? We still have radio now, but, you know, they are now digital and so forth. And they've even gone beyond digital. You know, they've gone to satellite, you know, so, but, but, you know, in the olden days, when you had these analog radios, you have the dial that you have to tune, try to find the frequency. And sometimes when you get close to a channel, but you don't get it exactly right, there's all kinds of static. And then you have to tune that thing, tune that, move it left, move the dial left, right, or whatever, until you begin to hear a little bit clearly. And you say, ah, I got the station. Well, they came along with digital. They fine-tuned that a little bit. All you have to do is punch in some numbers, and it goes right to the place. But the point is this. The radio station is broadcasting the whole time. Now, you may not be listening. And even if you are trying to listen, you may not be hearing it if you are not tuned to their station or tuned right. If you're not tuned right, you may hear all kinds of static along with that until you get it just right. You know, so just the time that you get it right, and you may have your favorite station and you turn it in and you want to listen to it and you finally got the station right. Sometimes we're moving around, we catch some other station. Say, and that's not the one I want. Then you move around, you find your favorite station, especially if it's not a digitally programmed device and you don't remember, you know, the station numbers where they are, you know, where their frequencies are. You move around until you find what you want and you listen to it a little bit, you know, and then say, oh yeah, that's the one I want. Or that's not the one I want. You move on to the next person. You do a little bit of scanning yourself, you know, but when you finally get to listen to the thing or you hear the thing, you are tuned in to the right frequency. You can hear it. Well, the question is this, did that station start broadcasting only at the time when you tuned in and you started to hear them? Of course not. They've been broadcasting the whole time. You just were not either tuned in or you couldn't hear it because you were not tuned in right, or your radio was turned off altogether. So these are natural things. We use it to explain the spiritual. It's the same thing. You know, God is in his own frequencies, you know, and for us to hear him, we got to tune in to his frequencies. And I'm just keeping it really simple. This is, you know, caring from God 101. You know, we're keeping it simple. Very simple, you know, just using natural understanding to try to figure it out. You know, but sometimes we have to deal also with the static. The static, you know, according to what we read in 1 Corinthians 14, there are many kinds of voices. And none of them is without significance. What? This voice of the static may be to distract you from the real voice, you know. I mean, the reason for the voice of the static. I mean, they have their own purpose. There are many kinds of voices. There are voices of reason. Those are good, you know. We talked about this in this room a few months back. Voices, all kinds of voices. Voice of reason. That one is very dangerous. And we're going to bring that in and how it affects us understanding when it is God that is speaking. Because somebody asked me this question yesterday, you know, and I think it was Sister Julia that asked me this question. I don't see her even here. I hope she would listen to the replay because I'm going to explain it today. Now, the voice of reason, very treacherous. You know, he will try to reason things away. Then there is the voice of doubt, there's the voice of unbelief. You know, there's just so many voices. And then there is also the voice of faith. But again, there is the voice of the Lord. You know, so how do we, in the midst of all of these voices, the question that was asked to me yesterday is when we're hearing a voice, how do we discern whether it's God's voice, my own voice, the devil's voice, or what have you? Well, you know, by the time we listen to this lesson, to the end of it, we will be able to figure out that answer together. You know, so, but bear in mind that the ways of God are higher and different than our ways. The way God operates, you know, it's higher than, in fact, you know, the problem with us is because we cannot most of the time operate in God's realm. So sometimes God has to drop to our realm. But really, what God wants is for us to come up hither. Come up hither is what he wants. You come up hither, you know, you are conversing with him. Actually, we, you know, as spiritual beings, believers, we also have a natural side. We're a natural being. We're also a spiritual being. We're a composite being. You know, we actually dwell in two realms at the same time. And we can oscillate between these two realms. And sometimes you can be in both at the same time. You know, that's when you experience a bodily vision, when you are participating in that thing. You know, you may think that you are here, but you're actually there. You know, and God, you may appear in the heavens. You may see some of the things going on in heaven. You may even see some of the old prophets, engage with them in a conversation, you know, and so forth. And then you can look back and you see what's going on, you know, upon the earth. And you can be in those realms. All those things happen. You say, well, that sounds a bit weird. No, not at all. Actually, the wicked world, the world of darkness, they understand these things better than the children of light most times. They understand how to tap into the spiritual world. Now, the danger is somebody who is not learned and they're trying to tap into the spiritual world. Well, there's all kinds of minimal choices in the voices. How are you going to know which one is actually God's voice? People end up with, you know, being deluded into so many other things. But God's voice is out there, just like all the other voices. In fact, there is a story, but the way that we think of God's voice may not be the way it is. God's voice has many attributes. Sometimes it's a still small voice. That's the one that we think of most of the time. You know, that the best illustration for that story is the experience that Elijah had in 1 Kings chapter 19. So 1 Kings chapter 19, let's pick up the story. This was after his showdown on Mount Carmel with the prophets of the grove and prophets of Baal and all of that, the fire coming down and so on. And then Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, said, well, God do so to me and more if your head remains on your head by this time tomorrow. And she swore that she was going to kill him. So he ran away and, you know, the Lord meets up with him. And the Lord said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, well, you know, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of Israel, because the people have departed from thy laws and they've hewn down their altars and so forth. And I, even only I, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So that's the story. So let's read it. And let me go here to 1 Kings chapter 19. You know, I like this engagement between the Lord and him, you know. So, you know, you see that he came to a cave, he lodged there. From verse 9, the word of the Lord came to him, said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, and for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. They've thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. You know, and then he did. And then behold, the Lord passed by. Now listen to this. There's a great and strong wind, rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Now, this is a very dramatic, some very dramatic phenomena that was happening around him. A mighty wind that split, you know, the mountains, break the pieces. And he looked for the Lord, because the Lord said, go stand there, I'm going to come. And he saw the wind tear things up. And he looked, and the Lord wasn't there. Well, after that, you know, there was a great earthquake, you know, that tore things more, even up even more. And he looked, and still the Lord wasn't there. Then after the earthquake, there was a fire. And Elijah thought, surely the Lord will be in the fire, because he's the God that answered by fire. He just had that fire experience. You know, it wasn't in the wind, wasn't in the earthquake. Surely he will be in the fire, you know. And he looked, and the Lord was not in the fire. And then finally, after the fire, there was a still small voice. And finally, he heard the voice of the Lord. Now, all of those, what was the wind, the earthquake, the fire, and all these things, they were not, if God wasn't it. Well, you might call those things his dispatch riders. You know, when the president of the United States is going to a place, you know, I watch this on some of those learning channels on TV. You know, the Secret Service, they will go there ahead of time. You know, they'd even carry, they have these jumbo planes that they used to carry all their own stuff, the military gear, the surveillance gear, you know, the cars, the things and various things, you know, and so on. You know, even the vehicle, the beast or whatever that he's going to, they gave these things different names based on which president is in office. And they would have the limo that's bulletproof. You can't shatter that thing. They'd have multiple versions of that thing. They would take like two or three of those as decoys. It would be in one of them, but there are two other ones that are identical, you know, as a decoy. So the, you know, whoever was the would-be assailant wouldn't know which one he was in. You know, they would go into a place, they would sweep the place for weeks or days before the president ever arrived there, you know, and they do all of these things. And then, you know, if there was any sign of any threat whatsoever, they would disable the threat before the president got there. You saw the things they did. And then the president will just casually come in and people think that, oh, he just came in. No. The Secret Service has been busy doing all kinds of things. Well, you know, the entourage, God's entourage, it's not that God needs anything, you know, but this God's entourage, you know, like the wind, the earthquake, you know, all of these things go before him, clear the way, you know, and now he comes, you know. So most of the time also we are distracted by those things. Yesterday I gave the story of Moses on Mount Horeb in Exodus 3. There was the fire, the burning bush. But the fire and the burning bush happened first before the voice. The burning bush was there, and Moses looked at it and said, wow, what is going on here? Why is this bush not consumed, even though the fire looks so hot? And he said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Well, God waited for him to do that. You know, and if he hadn't turned aside, he would not have heard the voice. You know, because the voice was not the fire. The fire was to draw him in. You know, so sometimes we get distracted. We see the pillar of fire, the cloud, we see the phenomena, we see all these things. We get distracted. But the voice is yet to come. And we run off. Say, wow. You know, but what is all of that if the voice is not there? We need the voice. And we need to hear from him. And we got to hear from him. You know, so the still small voice came after the wind, the earthquake, I mean, the fire and all of that. God wasn't in it. And the still small voice. And then he gave him instructions of what to do. And I believe that even in that still small voice, you know, there was one specific instruction of how he would go and anoint somebody. But there, you know, he learned how to listen to that still small voice. You know, was what God was showing him there. You know, he was a man that was used to standing in the presence of the Lord, but this experience was something different, something unique. And God was showing him that, well, all that drama, you can call down fire and do all of these things, but you got to wait, you know, for my voice. And I believe that, you know, the more he waited and heard that voice, the more instructions he got, closer and closer to the day of his translation. That's right. But that voice, you know, stayed with him. And so God also gave invitation to the children of Israel, which some of you have heard me say multiple times. In the book of Exodus 19 and verse 5, if you will indeed obey my voice, he said to them, then you will be unto me a kingdom of priests. You know, how will you obey his voice if first you don't hear it? That's number one. And if you hear it, and if you don't know that it's his voice, you may, tendency, maybe you may not even react accordingly. That was the question that was asked of me yesterday. And that's number two. So to hear his voice is important. To know that it is his voice, you know, when you hear multiple voices, how do you sift them out and figure out the one which is God's voice? That's important. That's number two. And when you finally figure it out that this is God's voice, how do you understand what he's trying to tell you to do? Because when understanding is lacking, the word that was planted in your heart, the devil will come and steal it away. You know, we read that already in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 19. So if you will obey my voice, God said to them, initially they said we will do it. Then later they said we cannot do it. And they moved far away from God. Now, remember, Elijah did not run away from the earthquake, the wind, the fire, and all of that. He stayed right there. But these people, when they saw the thunderings and, you know, and all of that, and heard some things they couldn't understand, they saw the fire and all the cloud, you know, on the Mount Sinai and everything, they moved away. The Bible said they removed afar off, you know, in Exodus 20. The same people that had said, yeah, you know, we will, you know, hear his voice. They didn't. He says here in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 18, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and had the noise of the trumpet, the mountain smoking And all the people who saw, they removed and stood afar off. They didn't want any part of that. Well, all of that was supposed to draw them in, just like Elijah's experience. But the people said, no, we can't do that. They spoke to Moses and said, you go hear from God. We cannot hear his voice, lest we die. And they removed far from God. They didn't want any part of God. So they lost the right to hear his voice. Now, first, the thing is, you must hear that voice. If you don't hear that voice, how are you going to obey it when you didn't even hear it? So they lost the right. And lo and behold, Moses became a prophet unto them. Now, very sad situation, which God had no intent for Moses to be a prophet unto them. He wanted them, each one of them, to be a priest that could hear directly from him. A kingdom of priests was what he offered them, but they wouldn't do it. They were also to be, you know, I mean, God was going to deal with them directly, but they didn't want it. So let's deal with the issue of hearing his voice. We need to hear his voice. If you arrived into the room late, you might have missed the song I played at the beginning that said, we need to hear your voice. We need to hear from you, Lord. Now, so that's the first thing. But, you know, when there are, in the midst of all the voices, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 10 and 11 that we read earlier, so many voices. In the midst of all the voices, how do you discern which one is the voice of the Lord? You say, well, it's the still small voice. Well, yeah, but it doesn't always have to be a still small voice. Sometimes it's, you know, it can appear in different ways. I mean, the still small voice is a good one. That's the way that we understand his voice. But if you look at Psalm 29 and read verses 3 to 9, you will see that even though in one place he called him the still small voice, in another place, it may not be still and it may not be small at all. It's still and small when he's trying to give you instructions. But when he's trying to demonstrate his power, it may not be still, neither may it be small at all. Listen to this in Psalm 29 and verse 3. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of the glory of God, I mean, the God of glory thundereth. So his voice can thunder. He's not always a still small voice. So let's straighten that out right now. It's a still small voice when he's trying to give you instructions. And I'm going to dwell on that because that's the one we need to figure out the most. But sometimes when he's trying to demonstrate his power, there's nothing still, there's nothing small about it at all. He's moving, you know, and he's thundering and it's upon the many waters. And the voice of the Lord is powerful. Nothing still, nothing small about it in this case. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. I mean, split huge trees and things like that. Huge mountains and split them into pieces. Naked, you know, I mean, even, you know, calves and so forth, you know. And things like that, you know, when the voice of the Lord, you know, maketh the hinds to calve, you know, and cattle that are pregnant or about to give birth, the voice of the Lord, suddenly they just give birth when they hear that thing. Discover the forest, so on and so forth. I mean, read all of it from verses 3 to 9 of Psalm 29. So it's not always, you know, the voice, I mean, it's not always a still small voice. You know, so, but the still small voice is when he's going to give you direct instructions. That's what he wanted to do here for Elijah. Now, let me say that carefully, you know, so that we may understand that. The small, still voice or still small voice, you know, came to speak to Elijah some instructions. But it's not always still and small. In fact, in the book of John chapter 12 And sometimes in the Gospels, we see similar versions where people heard the voice of God and they didn't know what it was. You know, they thought it was thunder and stuff like that, you know. So, and Jesus said, look, you know, this voice, you know, came from heaven, not because of me. You know, here is what he said in John chapter 12, you know, and I read this verse for you yesterday. I read verse 26. I said, if any man serve me, you know, and so forth, the honor that comes from God and all that. Now, let's see what he says in verse 28. Father, glorify thy name, he said. You know, his soul was troubled. He said, my soul is troubled. Well, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, but for this hour I came. So again, you see the demonstration of what we've taught in this room about Hebrews 4 and 12, that the word of God divides between the soul and the spirit. In his soul here, his soul is troubled. You know, that's where all the emotions are, troubled, this and that. In our own case, all our emotions are all wrapped up in the soul as well. Fear, unbelief, doubt, all of those emotions, they're all in the soul. But the word of God, when your spirit latches onto the word, the divide between the soul and the spirit, that's what Hebrews 4 and 12 means. In the spirit, Jesus said, well, I got to move on. This is what I came to do. In his soul, he said, well, you know, even when he was in Garden of Gethsemane, he said, oh, Father, save me from this. But nevertheless, the spirit comes through and say, nevertheless, thy will be done. So when he said, Father, glorify thy name, then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, they said it thundered, because that's what it sounded like. You know, other people said an angel spoke unto him. So it wasn't a still small voice. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't just speaking to Jesus in a still small voice. You know, this was thunderous. You know, and everybody, people were scared. Some people said, well, it was an angel. Some people said, it was a thunder. I mean, and stuff like that. And Jesus said, look, this voice came not because of me. It wasn't the voice that came to give Jesus instruction. This is the voice when God just wants to demonstrate, you know, how his voice can be and his power. Yeah, it's, you know, his voice can sound like thunders. You know, we've seen the story in the life of David, you know, when he said he prayed and the Lord answered his prayer from heaven and thundered, you know, upon his enemies. And I often challenge people. I say, can your prayer make God do that? Well, you can read it in Psalm 18. That's not the kind of, you know, that's not the kind of small voices, still small voice and so forth. You know, let's read a little part of Psalm 18. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. That's Psalm 18, verse 6. And cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his holy temple. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills were moved and were shaken because he was wrath. Now, God was going to stand up and fight for David. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth. You know, devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens and came down. Darkness was upon his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. And so on and so forth. You know, and he made darkness. And here in verse 13, he said, the Lord also thundered from the heavens. You know, and so on. So it's not, his voice is not always the still small voice. So let's straighten that out. Sometimes it is when he's trying to give you personal instruction. It'll be the still small voice. And that's the one that you got to filter out all the other competing voices. And the question is, when there are so many voices, how do I know that it's the voice of the Lord and not just my mind telling me? You know, well, that one is a tricky question and has a delicate answer. And the answer is in practice. That's it. There is no one formula. You can say, oh, well, Isaiah 8 and 20 gives you some guidelines. He said, if it is not according to this word, then there is no light in it. Now, if some voice is telling you to do something that is contrary to the word, because he said, to the law and to the testimony in Isaiah 8:20. That's a number one. That's discerning the voice of the Lord 101. If you want to discern, the first thing is the voice must speak according to the word, because God's voice is in his word. We've already established that in Psalm 103 verse 20. So if the voice tells you, excuse me, something that is contrary to the word, then it cannot be God's voice. So just disregard it. Throw it away. Don't even mess with it. However, the devil knows the word. And he can, present the word in a way. But the devil will always have some kind of twist, some kind of angle. When he presented to Eve at the very beginning, his angle was to try to discredit God's credibility. And say, well, that's not really what God really knew something different. He was just didn't want you to know these things. And he didn't want you to be like this. He knows you'll be like this. And he placed the seed of doubt in their mind to say, and then, put doubt in God's integrity, the integrity of his word, that this is what he said. That's what he meant. Say, well, that's not what he really meant. He knows that you'll be wise and this and that, so on. And he just sowed the seed. So the devil knows how to twist that word. Came to Jesus also and said, well, didn't he say that he would give his angel, charge over you to, keep you from dashing your stone, your leg against a stone? He quoted that to Jesus, but he left out a very important part, which said to keep you in all your ways. Now, if keeping you in all your ways, he won't lead you to try to tempt the Lord. And the devil knows how to use the word of God and try to twist it. So if you're going to go up against the devil, one time I, spoke in this room, I said, look, don't go to the devil in his own, in his own turf. You stay right here in the point of faith. Let him come to you. Don't go fight him in his own arena. No, you choose the battleground. The battleground is in the word. But you must know the word. If you don't know the word, the devil knows it more than you. It twists you around. It twists that thing around you. So first you got to know the word. So that's one thing. The voice must speak according to the word. You have to be able to know that the voice, what he's speaking, is according to the word. That means you have to know the word. If you don't know the word, how are you going to know? But the voice that you just heard, that's even assuming you are able, now you've been able to hear the voice. How are you going to know that it's actually God's voice and not some other voice? Well, we read this, in the book of, when we were doing the book of Hebrews, you would remember that we read this, right? We read how in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, talks about in verse 14, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So reason of use, that's the practice. There is nothing that can replace that. You can learn by instruction, but you learn better by practice. You have a kid that you want them to ride a bike. You can show them a movie all day long of how to ride a bike. Tell them what it's all about all day long until they get on that bike and try to ride it. It means nothing. I remember trying to teach my kids when they were young on how to, change a flat tire and stuff like that. You can hear instructions all day long on how to do it, but until you actually do it yourself, you're not going to figure it out. And you have to even do it multiple times before you get good at it. You're going to screw up the first time you try to do it. So it's the same thing. You can watch a video all the time of how to cook, recipes and so forth, and just watch that video and say, you know how to do it. No, you don't know how to do it until you actually try to do it, and you're going to mess it up the first few times possibly. So practice, practice, practice. You know, everything we do is practice. Same thing with practicing the voice, knowing the voice of the Lord is by practice. You may make, you know, a few errors initially. We read the story of Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3 yesterday. He was laying down by the ark in the temple, you know, but he didn't even understand the voice of God, because the voice of God was not yet revealed to him, we read. And when God called him, he ran to Eli. He thought it was Eli calling him. It took a few times, and then Eli finally figured out, it must be God calling this young lad. Here's what you do next time he calls you. And he taught him. You know, so he learned it. He got some help in learning it. We read the story of Gideon. He didn't know the voice of God, so he challenged it. He said, well, let me put the fleece here. You know, let the fleece be wet and the whole ground dry. That happened. And said, well, maybe that was easy. Maybe the fleece soaked up the water. Well, let's do it this other way. Let the whole ground around it be wet, and let only the fleece be dry. And then God was patient with him, and it was. So finally, he figured, yeah, this must be God telling me what this thing. And from that point on, same as Samuel, same as Gideon, after those experiences, it was then, and God said to Samuel, and God said to Samuel, and God said to Samuel. And then God said to Gideon, and God said to Gideon, and God said to Gideon. Finally, they figured it out. You know, so it's the same way for us. There is no shortcut around it. Now, sometimes it could be your mind also. I've heard many people say, you know, God told me. And I don't argue when somebody say God told me. That's their business. It's not my business. You know, I will only challenge it if you say God told you to tell the church to do something and it's contrary to the word of God. That's the one that I will challenge. Now, if you tell me that God told you to do some crazy thing for yourself that has no impact on anybody else, that's your business. I don't care. I wasn't there. Maybe God told you, maybe he didn't. But what's my business? It doesn't concern me. I couldn't care less. You know, God has told some prophets to do some crazy things in the Bible. You know, and that was their business. But you can't try to bring that as a doctrine, you know. If you try to say, God said, church, you do this. No, we're not going to do it. Because it's contrary to the word. You know, some people stand up today and they prophesy that, everybody should do something crazy. And people just go hook, line, and sinker because they say, oh, yeah, it's a prophet. No, I'm not going to do it if it's not according to the word. Go to the law and to the testimony. If it is not according to the word, it is because they have no light in them. Isaiah 8 and 20. You know, but if it's between you and God, if God tell you to walk on your head, put your feet up, do crazy stuff like that, great. Go do it. That's your business. But don't come tell all of us that God said we should all put our head down and walk on our... No, that's contrary to even nature. So we're not going to do it. So this is how you must know, you know, how to discern, you know, and practice, practice, practice. There's no other way to do it, folks. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, God told me. God, if God told you and the thing doesn't come to pass, then God didn't tell you. but even if God told you and the thing came to pass, but the thing made you go do something else, God gave them instructions about that. The prophet tells you something that comes to pass, and yet the prophet tells you to go after other gods, then get away from that prophet, you know, and so on and so forth. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that because I have one or two other things to say, and I don't want this to go very long. But the point is this. First, you must hear God's voice. That's very important. Hearing it means just even literally hearing it. That means tuning to his frequency. We covered that already. God can speak. He formed the tongue so he can speak. He formed the ear so he can hear. He formed the eye so he can see. Don't think that he cannot speak. If you're not hearing, it's because you're not tuned in. That's number one. You know, but when you are trying to tune in and there are many voices around the same frequency, how do you fine tune to the one that you are trying to discover and tune everything else out? That's number two. And that one is by practice. There is no other way to that one. Practice, practice, practice. Initially, you might make some mistakes. But practice in the little things. Don't try to practice in the big things. I remember my children when they were growing up. Thank God they are all grown and all married now. I used to tell them, look, you need to hear from God, you know, when you are going to, I mean, who you should marry and so forth. But don't wait until you are trying. That's our biggest decision that you are going to make in your natural life, you know, other than give your life to Christ and some other things like that. Who you're going to marry is so critical. Don't wait until that decision before you find out how to know when God's speaking to you or how he's speaking to you, because you are going to make a mistake. Practice in the little things first. Don't make the biggest step of your life the thing where you're going to try to know his voice. You will make a blunder. Practice in the little thing. In the morning, ask the Holy Spirit, what should I wear? It may seem unimportant, but talk to him. Let him talk to you. And so on and so forth. You go to the store, practice. Hey, should I buy this? You know, should I do that? Practice hearing him and so forth. Practice in the little things until you get better in the, for the bigger things. You know, so practice, practice, practice. Just the same way as I described in the beginning that, you know, first time you hear somebody's voice on the phone, if you don't even know who they were and you didn't have caller ID to tell you who they were, you may not know who they are. But, you know, enough time passes when they call you. Now that you know who they are, you know their voice, you understand that voice print, you don't even need a caller ID. You know that it's that person calling. If one of your siblings that you talk to all the time calls you on the phone, whether you have caller ID or not, or whether the thing shows their name or not, you know because you heard that voice. If it's your, you know, child, your spouse or whoever, or your friend or some walker that you walk with all the time, you can tell from the sound of their voice right away that it is such and such person. You don't even need them to introduce themselves. You don't need caller ID to tell you. Again, that comes from practice. The first time they called you out of the blues and you didn't know who they were, and there wasn't anything to tell you who they were, you wouldn't know it. So that tells you the practice. Listen to it long enough. Listen to her long enough. You can tell their voice. Now you can sift out their voice among many other voices. You know, that's the same thing in the spirit realm. It's nothing different. Same kind of thing. You know, so that's how you detect his voice, sift out all the other things, you know, and that's how you know his voice. But what about the understanding part? This is the last part I want to cover quickly. The understanding part is so critical. How do you understand what God is telling you to do? Sometimes people don't have no understanding, and they, you know, even though they heard the voice, even though they're able to figure out that it's God's voice, they don't understand the instruction. They might still do the wrong thing. So that is also critical, you know, and this one, it takes a lot of humility for you to say and ask, go back to God. You know, that's what the scripture says. If any man has, you know, dreams, you know, or, you know, let him tell a dream faithfully. If you speak in tongues, so you don't understand it, go to God for interpretation. I mean, if God gives you instruction and you don't understand it, go back to God for instruction. There's no way around that. If God gave you instruction, don't go to somebody else to try to get you that instruction. You go to God. He's the one that told you. And he will explain it to you. But unfortunately, people run off to somebody else. You know, now, in the Old Testament, they used to do that. But that was the Old Testament. They would go to look for a seer and a prophet and to tell their dreams to, for them to understand that. But in the New Testament, especially if you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have a different teacher now, you know, and he will. Now, we're not saying that, you know, those ministerial offices or prophet, apostle and so forth, they can tell stuff, generally speaking, to the church. But when it comes to personal instruction, it's going to come, ladies and gentlemen, from the still small voice to you directly, not through anybody else. We covered that yesterday. Now, God may then send you confirmation through them, but it came first to you directly from God. Listen to this in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man should teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, so ye shall abide in him. That anointing is the Holy Ghost. You don't need anybody else to tell you. Personal instruction. Holy Spirit will tell you. You hear a voice behind your ear telling you which way it is to go. I will guide you with my eye, all these things. Psalm 32, verse 8. The Lord will tell you. But if you do not have understanding, Lord gives you instruction and you don't understand, then go back to him and pray. It's that simple. Go back to him and pray. Or ask him more. You know, the best way for me to describe that is this same Matthew chapter 13 that we read, you know, a while back in this lesson. In this chapter, talking about understanding, Jesus threw out some parables. You know, began to tell them, you know, the kingdom of God, and began to tell them parables. And he spoke a lot of parables. You know, he said in verse 3 of Matthew 13, and he spake many things unto them in parables. You know, saying, and so on and so forth. And after he finished speaking all these parables, then the disciples came to him in verse 10 of the same chapter and said, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And here was his answer. Because to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But he that hath not, it shall be taken from him, even that which hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables. This is deep, guys. Because they seeing, see not. Hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. So hearing, seeing, understanding, and so forth, they all go together. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, as I says, you know, by hearing ye shall hear and not understand, seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are full of hearing, dull of hearing, and their eyes are closed, lest at any time they should see with their ears, eyes hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and be convert, and I should heal them. You know, so but you are blessed. You know, and so he began to explain to them. So they came back and asked him questions. You know, so that's the same thing I can say. If there's something spoken that looks like a parable that you don't understand, you heard the voice, you knew it was God's voice, but you don't understand the instruction, then you need to go back to God. Hallelujah. You got to go back to God, and then he will explain it. You know, and that's the best way I can say that. And Jesus said in Matthew 13 and 19 that the person that heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, the wicked one will come in, catch it out of their heart. And that's the seed that fell by the wayside. So we don't want to be like a seed that fell by the wayside. Understanding is so key. And you have to go and remember Job 32 and verse 8. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Now, it's the inspiration of the Almighty. It's not the inspiration of some man. So you got to go back to the Almighty, and he will give you understanding through your spirit man. That's how it works. So in summary, let me wrap up what we have spoken here today. Today's lesson was an attempt to answer some question that was posed yesterday after our lesson in the room. But how do I understand? How do I know it's the voice of God? How do I know it's not my own mind? Well, your own mind actually will, you know, it will not tell you, will not be according to the word of God, unless you're operating in the mind of Christ. If you're operating in the mind of Christ, it's all right for your spirit to tell you, because it will be according to the word of God. You know, but if you're not operating within the mind of Christ, then your spirit will not tell you something according to the word of God. So that is the final arbiter. That's the final test. Is it according to the word of God? Is it for the glory of God? You know, or is it for my own personal ego or self-exaltation and so on and so forth? If something is telling you to do something that's contrary to the word of God, then that something is not the voice of the Lord. When it is the voice of the Lord, and I said this yesterday, we should acknowledge him as the Holy Spirit and not just something. But once you are able to hear his voice and be in a position that you want to hear his voice, don't be like the children of Israel that say, I don't want to hear it. You must be in a position that you want to hear it. And when you want to hear it, he will speak to you. When it is personal instruction, it will be a still small voice. Don't be distracted by the wind, the whirlwind, you know, strong wind, the earthquake, or the fire phenomena. Don't be distracted by all of that. Wait for the word. The still small voice is what carries personal instruction. Now, when you've able to figure it out, which by practice you will, just like by practice you know people's voices, that it belongs to such and such a person, when you hear that voice, the same way by practice you will know that it is the voice of the Lord and not your mind and not the devil and so forth, not the devil playing a trick on your mind. It all comes by practice and by weighing it and sifting it with the word of God. The last piece is to understand instruction. If you do not understand instruction and you do part of it, then you still haven't done it. God gave Samuel instruction. You know, they should destroy everybody. But he didn't do it. I mean, not Samuel, Saul, I meant to say. And then, you know, when Samuel came and challenged him, he said, well, I've done what the Lord commanded. And Samuel said, you did not. What then is the bleating of all these thing that I hear? You know, so he thought he did it. Maybe he did 99% or 90% or 80% or 70%, but he didn't do all of it. You know, and the Lord said, destroy everybody. Don't bring anything back. But he destroyed the whole city, but kept some things. And he said, well, I want to keep this for sacrifice. That's not what God said. You know, and Samuel came in there and, you know, challenged him on it. And said, look, to obey is better than sacrifice. You can read all that story in 1 Samuel chapter 15, but I don't have time to read it right now. Because, you know, Saul said, well, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. And Samuel said, no, you did not. You know, this is what God told you, but you did not obey. And he did some part of it, actually. But, you know, destroy all the Amalekites, destroy everything, is what God said. And don't take anything, just destroy them all. But yeah, he did some part of it. Save the king, save some of the things, and so on. And all the oxen, the best of the oxen, he saved. And he justified it within himself and said, well, I wanted to use it for the offering to God. Offering to God, you got to follow God's word to a T. You know, that's not what God said to him. And so Samuel said to him, look, to obey is better than sacrifice. To hearken to his voice is better than all of these things. You know, Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? This is 1 Samuel 15:22. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. This is our lesson today. Hopefully that helps. And we're going to have a discussion. I haven't gone into specifically, I left that apart. because I wanted to hear from people. How is God speaking to you? What is your own way that God speaks to you? There are many ways. I'm going to give just a quick summary of that, and then I want to hear from people. God can speak to you primarily through his word, because the voice of God is already in his word. We proved that already. Now, the word of God, here is also another thing for us to understand. If you do not obey the written word of God, which is already given to us, and then you are looking for some voice somewhere, you've got another thing coming. First, you have to obey the written word before you can become a candidate for the spoken word. Because God already gave his written word. So if you don't obey that, don't even think that the voice is coming to you. Because this is the man, Isaiah 66 and verse 2, that I will look. Him that is contrite of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. If you don't tremble at the written word, you're not going to hear the audible word or the audible voice. So don't even worry about it. Read the word first. Obey the written word. Then you become a candidate for the spoken word. And the spoken word is the ultimate in personal instruction and guidance from God. The written word is general for all of us. God may say, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and so forth. It's a written word. It's common to all of us. But God will give you specific instruction. You may want to go to Asia and you say, don't go over there. Even though he already said go to everywhere. God may tell you on a daily basis, no, don't do that. Even though you said, but you said I should do it. He said, don't go there, that particular place. Because, God saw something and he wants to deliver you from some danger. Specific instruction will come to you by the voice. General instruction is already given to us by the written word. Obey that one first. Become a candidate for the spoken word. So that's one way that God speaks to us through his word. The most common way that God speaks to most of us is through this still small voice. When you are obeying the written word, a still small voice will also come to you and give you greater understanding of what you read, which was generic instruction to everybody. A still small voice will make it personalized to you. That's another way that God speaks to us. Then there is visions, there's dreams, and so on and so forth. But we don't need to wait to have a dream before God can speak to us. That means I got to go to sleep first. If I want God to speak to me right now, and the only way that God speaks to me is through dream, should I now go and lay down to sleep so that God can speak to me? That's not practicable, when you are already in the middle of your day. So whereas God can speak to you in dreams, that's for when you are sleeping. We shouldn't rely only on dreams. But God does speak in dreams. He will give you, usually a dream is not for the immediate. He will give you that for some time. It could be tomorrow, it could be later in the day, it could be even days to follow, or even way ahead, years even. Because it's not real time instruction. Dreams are not real time instruction because you are sleeping. You're not in real time. So real-time instruction is the still small voice. Vision can be real-time or a trance because you are right there and you can fall into a trance or you can see something, you can hear from God. Those are real-time instructions. Whereas a dream is good, it's not real-time. So there are many ways that God can speak to you. God can even speak to you through circumstances. That's right. God can use that to speak to you. When he's trying to reach you some way and you're not listening, then he will do some other things. The eagle stareth her nest because the young eaglet refuses to fly. Young eaglet would not listen to the eagle mother or mother eagle. And, she's trying everything to get her to fly and she won't do it. So finally, she's going to make that place uncomfortable. You stare up the place, don't do it. Make the nest of thorns and so forth. And all of that. So God can speak to us through circumstances. Elijah, a man that stood before God. God spoke to him through many ways. One way was to let the brook dry up. And after the brook dried up, Then he looked for an additional instruction. The first instruction was, go to the brook Cherith and stay there, and I will command the ravens to feed you. And he went and did according to the word of the Lord. And after many days, because there had been no rain in the land, his own prophecy caught up with him, you know, and then the Lord gave new instruction. The Lord allowed the brook to dry up. You know, and many of us today, especially Pentecostals, we would have stood by the brink of that brook, rebuking the demon that tried to make that brook dried up. That's what we would do. Speaking in tongues, rebuking the demon, rebuking the brook, and all of that. But the brook is already dry, folks. God said, look, I've got a new set of instructions for you. This brook is dry. You have dwelt long enough in this mount. It's time for you to move on. There's instruction for that time. There's a new instruction now. You know, so we must learn to flow. This is all part of, you know, learning to hear from God. You got to learn to flow with instruction. Yesterday's instruction is not always the same for today. David was a man that knew how to do that. Shall I go up? And against the people, the Lord would say, go. Then he would come back. He wouldn't say, oh, the Lord told me that, and then the next time. No, he would come back again. Shall I go up? He said, go. The third time, shall I go? God said, no, don't go up. Wait for the moving of the stirring of the, when you see something going among the mulberry trees and so forth. Instructions could be different. Don't take one thing, the Lord said this, you know, and then that's it forever. No, we got to come back to him every day. Just like we said yesterday, you can't say yes one time. We got to say yes every time. You know, when he brings new instruction, you got to recognize it. There may be a refined and a new instruction for today that was different from what he gave you 3 months ago. So, you know, now the brook could be dry. And he may be telling you, you know, I mean, sometimes we're there praying and so forth, you know, that you have this horrible situation on your job. And this is not about marriage, folks. So don't even go there, you know. But this is a situation on your job and some other things, you know, that the Lord is trying to get your attention, but you can't, you know. So he'll make the place uncomfortable for you. And then you begin to cry out to the Lord. That's right. I have seen their affliction and I have heard their cry. He saw their affliction for many years, but they were not crying. So he, you know, probably didn't do anything about it. But now when he heard their cry, then he began to do something about it. So some God may use situations as well, make the situation uncomfortable for you, you know, for you to go, you know, do something different. I said that wasn't about marriage because we're not instructing people to leave their marriages just because it's different. That one is different. Or just because things are difficult, you know, walk it out. But I'm talking about other things. I don't have time to go into that particular one. But other things, you know, God may use situations to speak to us. So that's our lesson for today. I'm at the bottom of the hour. I am going to stop it right here. And then I want to hear from you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everything that we have discussed today. We want to pray, Lord, that you give us understanding. An understanding heart was what, you know, David prayed for his son, and his son also, Solomon, he asked God for that. You know, when you have an understanding heart, you can understand the voice of God. And if God's voice comes and you don't understand, we need to pray. So teach us, Lord, to understand, not one, to be able to hear your voice. You know, my sheep will hear my voice and they know my voice. They'll follow me, but they won't follow a stranger because they know not the voice of strangers. Father, help us, Lord, to be discerning. As many voices, even on this app that, you know, appear to represent the Lord. But if they speak not according to the word, then it's because there is no light in them. So get away from them. So Father, teach us these things and give us understanding to hear your voice, to know your voice, to understand the instruction that you are giving us. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.